Welcome to Raise Your Vibe and Heal. My name is Lisa Snyder, and I'm so grateful that you have decided to spend a little time with me today. I'm so excited because my very good friend and colleague, Monica Lever, has joined the podcast today, and we are going to be talking about several things, but especially focusing on her background, which includes dream work. Monica has been a lifelong learner of metaphysical modalities and psychology. The study of metaphysics, ancient wisdom, and symbolism was introduced to her at a young age by her father, who also held a lifelong passion for seeking meaning and understanding beyond our 3D reality. She has become a dreamer who seeks to understand the self through what is naturally provided to us on a nightly basis. Through the application of Jungian dream analysis and her intuitive skills, Monica supports those who wish to understand their dreams by providing language and a deeper dive into what the self communicates with each of us, if we dare to pay attention. You can reach Monica by email, which is going to be included in the description field of this podcast, along with her full biography. And I am so excited to discuss dreams with Monica. So welcome, Monica, to the podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. We have been looking forward to holding this for a few months now, and where our schedules have finally come together. And, you know, all the different astrological and solar flares and things kind of affecting everything. It's just like the timing has just finally come together. So thank you so much for joining us. I am really excited because December of 2022, I believe it was, you were my very first podcast guest, and I had no intention of even starting a podcast. And we talked about dreams back then, and it's just been one thing has led to another. And so it's just such a great opportunity for us to reconnect and talk more about dreams. So if you would like to share a little bit about your background and how you got started into the world of dream work, that would be that's a great place for us to start today.
Okay, great. Thank you so much again for having me here today. So dream work, oh my goodness. You know, we all have dreams, right? When I retired from public school teaching about 6 years ago, a teacher friend of mine said, join me in a dream class. I want to take a dream class. I need something to do. I want you to join me. And so a woman that lived near us, also a retired teacher, was teaching dream classes based on Jungian dream analogy. And so we took the class. It was all based on symbolism, and it just really intrigued me. And then I realized, actually my teacher realized, that I had a little bit of an intuitive background that was coming through when we were analyzing dreams, because I was going beyond what like dream dictionaries and other resources were loaning us. And so she was just really encouraging me to develop that aspect of my knowingness, because that's really what it is. It's a knowingness. When I get into a dream, when I get into someone else's dream, it's like I actually enter their dream with them, is what it feels like. And so I somehow am able to tap in and visualize and feel. I'm very empathic as well. And so I feel what they're feeling. And so I do use the resources of dream symbology and dream symbolism that a lot of what Carl Jung has developed. He was a very famous Swiss psychiatrist, psychologist. And so I blend the two. I blend the symbology with intuition, and then I'm able to come up with messages to help the dreamer understand what it is that they're dreaming, because I have a very strong belief that all dreams have a healing message, even if they're frightening or nightmarish or repetitive or what have you. So dreams are fascinating to me. So that's, and it kind of blends everything that I've studied in the past, you know, including numerology, astrology, language, because metaphors come through in dreams. I don't know. It's just crazy. It's dreams are a universal language in my mind. And so,
do you believe everybody dreams? Because I know people who say, I never dream, or I don't have dreams, or what are your thoughts on that when people say they don't dream?
That is an excellent question.
Thank you.
Everyone dreams, and you're wrong. Everybody dreams, all mammals dream, because we have the capacity to do so. We may not remember our dreams, and so we may not think that we're dreaming, but indeed, you know, infants dream, animals dream. You've seen, if you have a dog or a cat, you know, you've seen them, you know, howling or kicking or meowing, and you know darn well they're sleeping, but there's something going on.
Right.
In their little minds, right?
Right.
So, and there have been a lot of studies, sleep studies and so forth, you know, that tell us that we dream. And, you know, there's more and more information coming out all the time, because we're starting to really pay more attention to dream scientifically. And not only do we dream during REM sleep, which was the common thought, but now we sleep outside of that REM, you know, the rapid eye movement type of sleeping. So there's a lot more understanding coming about regarding dreams and when we dream, and because, you know, we daydream, you know, we can be awake and dreaming, right? So I consider that to be dreaming too. And there's so many types of dreams. That's amazing. You know, we can astral dream, there's lucid dreaming, there's so many topics that involve dreams, and dreamology, the study of dreams. It's just vast, and dreams are so layered. It's fascinating. They're fascinating.
Are there any tips to help people remember their dreams when they say, I don't dream, or I don't remember my dreams? Do you have any suggestions or tips for people on that?
Great question. Yes, absolutely. We can tell ourselves to remember before we fall asleep at night. We can say, you know what? I would like to remember my dreams. And if you have some sort of recording device, whether it's a journal and a pen or your phone, a lot of the times I'll just use the voice recorder on my phone to record. If I don't have enough time or effort to record a complete dream, if I can record or at least capture a few of the significant symbols in a dream, then usually when you sit and think on a dream later on down the line, the next day or what have you, the dream will come back to you like a story, because dreams are stories that we tell ourselves and that we experience, right? So if we can capture a few of those details, then typically we can fill in, our memory will help us fill in the rest of that story. So
if our dreams are giving us stories about ourselves, why should we care about those stories? What is the significance of those stories?
Because the stories are actually helping us heal. Dreams are a way for us to tap into our inner selves. It's a way for us to escape our 3D reality and to tap into, our deeper reality, our 4D or our 5D reality, if you believe in those different dimensions, which I actually do. They're a way for us to tap into our loved ones that have passed beyond, into the beyond, and to tap into higher knowledge that we aren't necessarily conscious of in our waking life. It's a way for us to tap into our imaginal realm, which is our creative realm. And that helps us to solve dilemmas and issues and problems. So dreams, that's why I feel like dreams can be very, they are very healing. So
I agree with that. You've had an opportunity, or I've had the opportunity to share various dreams that I've had over the last handful of years. And I have found that the information you have provided intuitively has been so incredibly helpful, because sometimes you can look at a dream but not realize that there are many layers to it, as I have learned from you. And one of the things that I find interesting is if you can just share a little bit. So say if we have a dream and we see somebody, say we see a father figure, we see a mother figure, we see a man in our dream or a woman in our dream. I always thought that that always represented, for example, our father, or it always exempt our mother. Can you give just a little bit of insight onto what that symbolism may mean if you don't have somebody like you interpreting the dream?
So that's another great question. You know, every symbol in a dream actually is a reflection of ourselves. Okay. So if you dream of another person, let's say, typically, not always, but in our typical dreams, we're dreaming of an aspect of ourselves. So if we are dreaming of our father, let's say, usually what that is, it's representing that energy, that father energy, that guiding energy that a father and provides, right? The wisdom and the guidance and what have you. So you're tapping into that piece of yourself.
Okay.
In the dream. Okay. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Then how do you know the difference between how for the person who's listening and doesn't have the same level of experience or awareness that we're discussing, how are they able to discern when it's a dream visit, say from their, perhaps it's their father on the other side or a loved one on the other side in spirit, a dream visit versus say it's symbolic of something that's going on within themselves? How can they tell the difference?
That's a really good question. You know, Carl Jung defined dreams as being big dreams or little dreams. And there's different types of dreams. There's the mundane dream that just helps you process all the stuff that we take in during the day, right? If we happen yes. to listen to the news or hear a conversation or, you know, notice something that we're passing by at the mall or wherever, you know, it's helping us to just kind of, there's our brain like needs to dump that information. All right. Mm-hmm. So we have those types of dreams and those tend to happen usually towards the beginning of the night of our nighttime dreaming. Big dreams, like what you're indicating, when we have dreams, you can just tell because they stick with you and the emotion is so impactful. I had a dream visit from a very, wonderful great aunt of mine that I was very fond of. She was like my grandmother here in the States. My family happens to be from Germany and most of my relatives are still there. And so I felt very close to this great aunt of mine. And so she came through in a dream several months before she passed away. And it was just such a loving vision of her that I woke up with tears on my cheeks. And that's when I knew this was something beyond just a regular dream. We actually had a heart to heart connection and visit. So you just know, you can tell.
Oh my gosh. That actually made me burp a little bit because of, and for those of you that are listening, that when I burp, that's like an energetic release. And so for me, that just felt like such a validation of what Monica was speaking of, the difference between a dream where you're processing versus a dream visit. And it just felt like there was a little bit of, I don't want to say truth serum to it, but it just had a little bit of a energetic component to what you just said. So that actually comes to another part of the healing, that you can have a dream visit with somebody and that experience also can be extremely healing. Do you have any examples of that where maybe you personally or somebody you've worked with where they've had a dream visit and it resulted in a certain type of healing? And if you don't, that's fine too. But I was just wondering if you had something.
Yeah. I mean, there's one that just happened the other day with my daughter. She had a visit from her brother's angels. She wasn't sure who they were. She said they felt like angels or guides or spirit guides. And there were these two beautiful, just golden orbs that came to her. And basically they just told her the message that, you know, everything's going to be okay. And she was worried about her brother. There was something going on. I'm not going to go into detail, but there was a personal issue that she's been concerned about for a while. And it, you know, the message to her was, you just need to freaking let it go. It's none of your business.
The German in you probably would have said that anyways, but exactly. But then again, you can't always tell your kids what you think because who are we, right? I mean, we're not always right as parents either.
No, this is true. But it just gave her some relief, do you know? So
yes.
And it was, and back to my, just real quick, back to my dream with my great aunt, you know, she lived in Ohio. I live in Colorado. And so we hadn't seen each other for a number of years. And so it was such an impactful visit. when she was able to come to me, or when we were able to meet up in that dream realm together. So, and I wasn't able to ask her whether she consciously knew about it or not, but I know on some level she did. She knew that we were together. So,
oh, okay. So here's another question for you. Most of the time I feel like my dreams are in black and white. I do remember one experience a few years ago where I was dreaming and I saw lots of color. I saw lots of green. I could see the green of the trees. I could see the blue of the water. What's the difference between a black and white dream? And of course, every person's different, but what would you suspect is a potential reason why I dream mostly in black and white, but there are instances where it's in color?
Wow, that's really an interesting question, because my experience is I've always dreamed in color.
Okay.
It might depend on how developed or tuned in you are to your physical five senses, let's say. I know that you're a visual person, but I wonder if there's a part of you that has you dream in black and white in order to distinguish when you do dream in color, that those symbols, especially the colors, become that much more meaningful for you in the dream, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. What about, where does astral travel or lucid dreaming? If you can just talk a little bit about lucid dreaming, because some of us have heard that expression, but we may not exactly understand what lucid dreaming means. Can you talk just a little bit about that, please?
Sure. And please, everyone know, I'm not a psychologist.
My intuitive friend, Monica, who happens to have a wealth of information, and I have had a lot of dreams that have been intuitively, we know you're not a mental health professional. We know you're not a psychologist. Right. We that's also always the given when people listen to this podcast, just like I'm not a medical or mental health professional either. But from your perspective and your best understanding of what a lucid dream is, that would be great.
Sure. Lucid dreams are fascinating. And so are the astral dreams. So lucid dreaming are the dreams where you are fully in control of what's going on in your dream. And I know there are lots of people that, what am I trying to say? They are working on gaining that control over their dream life. On the other hand, there are some psychologists, Jungian-based psychologists, that claim that you shouldn't try to lucid dream excessively, because you're stopping the natural flow of what the dreams are bringing to you in that dream realm, right?
Right.
So there's a couple of different thoughts about lucid dreaming. Now, if you, in my mind, and I've always had a fascination with psychology, and I don't have a psychology degree. I have a master's in education. But I've studied enough psychology and just on a personal interest, out of personal interest as well, to know that, we all have control issues.
No, I don't. I don't have control issues. Double Virgo with Capricorn rising. No, gosh. Not at all.
We're on for ourselves. We all have control issues. So in coming from that approach, if you're having a dream where you are feeling out of control and it rattles you so much, then perhaps you do want to have that control come forth. You do want to have that inner light come through and mentally and more consciously control your dreams so that you can direct the dream and ask the dream to bring you more clearly what it is that the dream wants you to know. And it's not that the dream wants you to know it, it's your inner self that's talking to you through the dreams. What does your inner self want you to know and realize? What does it want you to heal? What does it want you to balance? What does it want you to realize? So in that way, I do agree that lucid dreaming can be very helpful. I don't do a lot of lucid dreaming myself. I do tend to just kind of go with the flow. and subscribe to that philosophy that you don't want to control your dreams too much. But, and then astral dreaming. Now, that's a really cool experience, because I have had several dreams where I felt like I have left this realm. Well, I think I shared with you one time, I felt like I was visiting Mars in a spaceship one time, because it was just such a vivid, this was probably a dream that I had 20 years ago or something crazy like that. But it was just, it was so vivid. It was if you refer back to Jung, that was a big dream, right? Because it just has stuck with me for so long, this dream memory. And it just helped me realize, you know, there is life beyond our 3D reality, you know, that we live every day. So,
You bring up a good point when you were talking about the astral dreaming, that where it's so significant. The one that I'm thinking of where it really made a huge impact, where it was basically like, and it was just beautiful color. It was several years ago, and I felt like I was flying. I literally felt like I was just zooming over the treetops. And then I heard in my head, Augustine, and I was seeing these blue colors, and it just felt very different from a normal dream state. But even to this day, I can still remember the colors and just the vividness of the landscape. So that might be the reason why I saw color then. And normally I don't see the colors when I'm dreaming. I don't know. But here's another question. Because this just happened this morning, well, sometime during the dream state. Can dreams be, so I have noticed that I remember my dreams more, or either I'm dreaming more, or I'm just more aware of my dreams when this happens. But when I'm not in a deep, deep sleep, so we're talking about the REM state, so for example, I kept waking up every 2 and 3 hours last night, every 2 and 3 hours, which I think is because of what's going on with the sun, lots of energy. But I really remembered my dreams, and I feel like there was a lot of them. Can you give me a little, do you have an understanding of why that is? Am I just continuing the dreams? Is it because I'm sleeping so lightly, I'm remembering my dreams? Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I tend to dream better in the mornings, I feel like. Like if I have to get up in the middle of the night for whatever reason, we have a puppy, so I am getting up in the middle of these days.
Like having a baby.
Yeah. That when I go back to sleep, I feel like I have more intense dreams that I tend to remember. And maybe it's just because it's closer to when our waking time is, you know, in the morning, that we remember that the memory is a little bit more in the forefront of our minds. That sort of thing. I'm not.
No, that's okay. I was just curious if you had the answer. And I respect the fact that you're saying you're not sure. You don't have the answer to that question. I appreciate that. It was just kind of interesting because one of the dreams that I had this morning, without getting into the details, it felt interactive. Like I felt, and I don't know, perhaps this is part of that lucid dreaming state. So I'll just, without giving too many details, I was speaking to somebody, and that person asked me a question. And I remember in that dream state formulating the answer to that question. So I answered this person. And then I was aware of a third person that was in the dream state who approached us, also interacting. So I felt like there was an actual dialogue that was happening. Like in that dream state, I felt like it was an interaction. It didn't feel passive to me. So would that be more of a lucid dream, or is that more of a lucid dream state, do you think?
I would say so. Yes, absolutely. Because it seems, you know, our small dreams, we're going back to big and small again. Small dreams are pretty passive. You know, again, they're the processing dreams that we're just trying to get our minds wrapped around or just to let go of. But and that's not to negate little dreams. Little dreams are highly important as well, because they also hold information and clues for us to balance and heal. Okay.
Yes.
You bring up some really interesting information, because dialogue dreams are not as, what's the word? It's escaping me. They don't tend to happen very often. What What else is very interesting is we don't tend to read or write or do math in dreams because dreaming is very much a right-brained experience, okay? So when you think left brain and the right brain.
Yes.
Left brain is the logical side. That's our language side. That's our logical side where we do computations and where we think through very concretely. Pardon me. And then so the right side is our intuitive, creative brain. And so that's really where the dreams formulate and they come from. So when we do have the opportunity to use our whole brain to dream, that's when we have these, I would say, significant dialogues with ourselves. Again, I feel like who you were dialoguing with, again, were aspects of yourself.
Okay.
And they were helping to bring an answer or helping to formulate or concretize something specific that you probably have been mulling over in your mind or wanting an answer to, or trying to figure out maybe the verbiage around, or, you know, how to say it, perhaps something along those lines, not knowing what your dream was. But it's just fascinating. The more that you become aware of your dreams, I think the more your awareness opens and the more your whole brain can become involved in your dreams.
Well, this adds to the point of how healing this can be. So this particular dream surrounded my ex-husband, and there was, we used to have a business together and we made skincare, and this person who I was dialoguing with was wanting to know why we were no longer making this product. And I explained why. I said, we got this divorce, but it was very interesting because in this dream state, I was aware that my ex-husband and I, there was a little bit more of a, I would say lightheartedness between the two of us, because, you know, when you go through a divorce, it's, you know, it's pretty rare that it's a wonderful, exciting, harmonious kind of experience. And so this actually felt more lighthearted. And so when you're saying this to me, it feels like perhaps I'm being more lighthearted about the overall process, and which to me feels very healing. It feels like I'm healing. I'm working on the healing piece of it. So, does that make sense?
Sure.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
Yeah. Dreams bring up emotions, and oftentimes if we're not ready to face emotions, they'll come up as symbols.
Okay.
Like for instance, you know, if you're in a body of water, if you're near the ocean or in the ocean and you're drowning in emotion. You're just not ready to face the emotions that you're drowning in, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, speaking of water, I don't know if you have an answer for this, but I went into during the dreams that I think I texted you this morning. I don't know if you've had a chance to actually think about this, but it was the weirdest thing. I did not sleep very well last night. That's why I'm remembering a lot of these dreams. Maybe it was in preparation for our conversation today, but I was in my childhood home and I walked into my parents' little bathroom, and in this clean toilet. It was a very clean toilet. I remember that. I remember seeing this very large fish. It was a fish. It wasn't like a little goldfish. And I don't know how the heck it could fit in this toilet, but it was facing me and looking at me. Any idea why this fish was sitting in a toilet looking at me?
Okay.
No.
Well, right off the bat.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Monica. So I'm like, that is so bizarre that I'm looking at a fish. And I remember thinking, so this may be helpful. I remember thinking, okay, I don't know how to, this is probably really helpful. I should give you more information. I remember thinking, okay, I don't know how to help this fish. I know I need to help this fish because I don't, you know, first of all, I don't want to flush it down the toilet, right? I don't want to hurt the fish. But this fish was really big and I didn't want to just pick it up with my bare hands because I didn't know if that was a safe thing to do. So I was trying to figure out how to get this fish out of this fishbowl, toilet, whatever. I went seeking help and I asked my father what to do. And he says to me, your mom's already taken care of it. She's so proud of herself. She already went and took care of this fish and got it safely to where it needs to go. So off the top of your head, is that anything that makes, I mean, the symbolism, I mean, does a fish symbolize anything? Does a toilet bowl symbolize anything? A bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
you mentioned water.
Okay. So this is really interesting. So, okay. A fish oftentimes represents Jesus or the Christ.
You know what? I had that thought. I did have that thought. Yes.
And for several different reasons. So when we go into historic symbolism, you know, the fish is strongly associated with religion, with Jesus, with your faith, with your belief system. You know, I mean, are you contemplating flushing your belief system somehow? Even though it's in a very clean environment, is there something that you have been contemplating or getting ready to contemplate changing in your belief system?
Yes, actually there is. And it's that is, yes, absolutely. There was a conversation I had with somebody and it was a very, yes, absolutely 100%.
Okay. So that's what comes to mind when I, you know, I could sit and do some more detailed.
That's okay.
But I put you on
the spot on this one, but then getting back to the father and the mother, are those aspects, those aren't really like my father and my mother.
Those are aspects of yourself that are taken care of, that are balancing and take the feminine and the masculine energy and the feminine energy are coming together to balance out for you to remedy, you know, whatever that you're contemplating changing. So,
well, I will share with you. I had a reading yesterday with a gifted healer psychic. And one of the messages that I was given was there is obviously with the work I do, there is definitely a huge trust level with me and spirit. Like I really, really trust spirit, but also as a double Virgo Capricorn rising, which I don't pretend to be an expert, there's a lot of that monkey brain going on. So there is the conversation circled around not just thinking and knowing about your connection with spirit and thinking and knowing your connection with this all-encompassing intelligence and love and support, but really feeling it, feeling this connection with spirit, feeling the connection with source. And it's really a switch for me as far as really working on embodying that piece. And so one of my thoughts this morning literally was, I thought about Jesus and with the fishes and the loaves, and this fish was looking at me. I was literally looking at me and I knew that was... so anyways, I digress. That was just that could have something to do with it.
Well,
but
yeah. And the fish being in the water, water represents emotions, you know, in the toilet, you know, is it swirling, you know, things are swirling around,
yeah.
You know, like indicated in your head and, you know, emotions are very much are indicated that things are swirling around your belief system as well. Do you want to flush it away or has part of your divine feminine, is it already taken care of? You don't need to flush it away because it's already being taken care of and it's resolving.
Well, you just reiterated what was in the dream. It was my father, the father in the dream saying, mother's already taken care of it. And she's very proud of herself that she took care of it. I remember that part. So, well, I'm sorry I put you on the spot on that one, but I have to say you really did a great job. That's how impressive this work can be. And so, and what your intuition is able to share with you on the spot. Are there some common symbols or common themes that we all have in our dreams that people who are listening can say, oh yeah, I've dreamt about that. And, oh, okay. And if there are, can you just share a couple of those with us?
Sure. A couple of symbols that I hear about over and over and that I dream about myself are a car, so vehicle dreams, and a house or building dreams.
Yes.
So, yep. So car dreams are fascinating because depending on where you're located in the car, kind of shows what you feel about the situation that you're dreaming about. So are you in the driver's seat or are you in the passenger seat or are you in the back seat? How much control? And you know, as you're traveling down the road of life, so to speak, how in control do you feel? or how in control are you over a certain situation that you're dealing with? So that's why car dreams are fascinating. House dreams, on the other hand, can be strongly associated with the body. So, pardon me, there's, depending on what room you dream about, it can indicate a specific part of your body, an organ perhaps, or location, something that you need to be aware of. It could indicate a medical issue or, something that needs to be rebalanced in your health and nutrition, perhaps, or even in your thinking, if it's in your head, if it's in your attic.
So looking at the house, what would in general, of course, I'm not saying this is not mental or medical professional advice, but if you were to take the different aspects of the house, like the basement and the attic and the kitchen, I mean, what do some of these spaces and the garage, because I know we've talked about that, what do some of these spaces in general indicate?
Okay. So again, the attic would be your thoughts, your thinking, your head, that sort of thing. You're at the top of your limits. The basement would be, it could indicate your subconscious. It could indicate your feet. It could indicate something that's happening from, let's say, maybe your knees and downward. The kitchen, again, would be your abdomen, your abdominal area. And what are you digesting, right? Or not digesting? Or what are you taking in? Or are you taking in the right type of nutrition? The kitchen can very much symbolize that information or that association. So,
and the garage?
The garage is where you store, you typically store things. With any room, how messy or clean is it or organized is it? Do you need to reorganize your thoughts? Are you stuck in the attic with a bunch of cobwebs? You know, do you have cobwebs in your head and you're not thinking or paying attention to what you ought to be paying attention to? That sort of thing. The body can symbolize a home and your body are closely associated. So
sure.
Can indicate some really interesting things there.
What about the importance of animals? So we have snakes. So I'll just mention a couple that you and I have discussed in the past. In fact, there was a dream not too long ago where there was a snake that was in my bed that kind of went up between myself and the other person. And I was surprised by the response that you had about that. But what about, snakes or other animals that appear in our dreams? Do they have specific, I'm assuming that they're symbolic of different aspects of ourselves or things we're working through?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we dream of animals or bugs or what have you, any other sentient beings, we typically think of their character traits. So, a lot of us are deathly afraid of snakes, but a snake actually, historically indicates life force. Or, because if you think about it on the caduceus, you've got a pair of intertwining snakes. That's what the staff and the snakes indicate in healing and in medicine, right? So depending on how, and if a snake is rising or slithering, and I apologize. I don't remember what my interpretation of the dream meant for you or what I said.
Okay. But, it's okay.
I don't retain that, but it had to do with life. I'm sure it had to do with life force and how you were feeling between you and the other person or the other aspect of yourself in that dream. So we tend to run away from snakes because we don't want to face what's going on in our life or we're afraid of our own power.
Okay. Well, I remember the snake was coming from, I would say it was going from my feet up towards the head of my head. And I remember grabbing the snake by my hand. So I think we had talked about the significance of that with power, but we've already talked about that other dream.
Yeah, Kundalini energy.
Yep.
Right? It's developed, it could be symbolizing the energy that you're developing in your spiritual self. And it's just to let you know where that snake is, you know, as it's rising. So
for those who are unfamiliar with Kundalini energy, what is kind of your interpretation or what's your definition of what that is in layman's terms for the person who's unfamiliar with what that means?
Sure. So Kundalini energy, to my understanding, is energy that's it's based in your root chakra. And, you know, when you have spiritual awakening or consciousness rising, then that energy tends to flow up our spine and through our chakras. And eventually, you know, when we're developed enough or evolved enough or, you know, whatever belief system you want to tap into or utilize, then you're integrating your, not only your physical body, but your energy body, your spiritual body, your emotional body.
Yes. How can you tell the difference between a brain dump, like a data dump, and an actual dream that, like, sometimes I feel like, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but how can you tell the difference where you really need to say, reach out to somebody like you and go, what is the meaning of this dream versus it's just your brain processing or it's your consciousness. I don't know if it's your consciousness processing versus a dream that's full of symbolism that you want to explore. How can you tell the difference between the two?
Oh, let's see. You know, again, I think you tend to have those brain dump dreams towards the beginning of your, the beginning of your sleep time. So, okay. It's those silly, goofy, weird, nutty dreams that are like more, you know, they could be more like snippets and they remind you of, again, something that you heard or saw, you know, during your daytime. And either you just didn't have enough time or attention to really process what it was that your senses were taking in. And so it's just kind of completing that process. And it's also, you know, I mean, again, I don't want to discount those brain dump dreams, because I think we all do it, in order to stay healthy and to stay sane.
So, well, that also ties in with Monica. I'm kind of curious, and I know we're kind of going into a little bit of a different direction with this, but what about nightmares? When people who, especially I think about people who have horrible PTSD from, say, wars or from severe trauma, and they have these recurring, and again, I know you're not a medical professional or mental health professional, but nightmares, what is the purpose of a nightmare when a person feel, I mean, they're basically being tortured at night while they're in their dream state. Can you speak to any of that?
Again, it's, you know, those are the big dreams that are trying to, they really want your attention, because there is something absolutely for you to psychologically or even physically heal. There's a part in the process that where you're stuck on and not able to get beyond in order to get to that resolution. So oftentimes nightmares, you know, can be so frightening because it is dealing with trauma, physical or psychological or emotional trauma. Grief is a huge trauma, yeah, that, you know, that we experience. And so a lot of the times we nightmare because we're still digesting, so to speak, psychologically, you know, through dreams, information that we're still trying to come to terms with, or that we may not necessarily be totally conscious of, and haven't resolved our emotions around. So oftentimes, you know, it's out of guilt that we have a nightmare, or it's just trying to capture our attention because it has an answer for us. We just haven't quite understood what it is yet.
And again, if I feel like if somebody is going through some sort of a severe trauma or a severe grief period, that to seek out the appropriate mental health and medical professional, a really qualified professional that can help you through some of that trauma so you can help process the trauma is how I feel would be a helpful, whatever, however that person is guided to work.
You know what else? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
off. Nope, you're good.
While you're waiting, because I know, unfortunately, in a lot of regions, mental health isn't easily accessible immediately. Oh. So in the meantime, I would strongly encourage anyone who is experiencing dreams that are disturbing to please write them down, you know, journal them and contemplate them in your waking state, in your conscious state, because, you know, it's so interesting, even after we've written dreams down, and even if we don't know how to interpret them necessarily, often, like, this is, so I don't, a lot of the times I don't take the time out to interpret my dreams either, you know, because I've gotten to the point where either I know kind of what it is, and it's like, okay, yeah, now I can resolve that issue. Or I know, okay, I've paid attention, I've written down what I've needed to write down about the dreams, the particular symbols that really stood out. And like, I'll be vacuuming or doing the dishes, or, you know, when you can kind of start to let your mind go and just do some mundane tasks, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like the answer, you get this like, aha, like, oh my God, you know, oh, that's what that meant. So the answers can actually come to you in your waking state when you allow it to develop and kind of, like I say, digest and process, right? So even if you write those dreams down, I think it's very therapeutic to get that, the mental energy out onto paper, out onto, you know, make it a little bit more concrete so you can feel control over it and then gain some balance and some healing from it.
I love that. I know you've spoken about journaling in the past with me and that I should really keep track of my dreams. And of course, journaling can be so helpful with, I feel like there's a, that it's like almost like a transfer of energy that you're taking from and you're writing and you're transferring that energy onto the paper. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there can be some healing just from the act of journaling. And then, like you mentioned with the vacuuming, or you're doing something and all of a sudden, bloop, you might get some intuition or get some insight from your guidance team, your guides, your angels, or you're logically thinking about it, however you interpret that, to get more clarity around what mm-hmm. these dreams might be meaning for you. So I love that. So can you walk us through a little bit of your process? Like when you deep dive into a dream, how do you approach it? Can you just talk us through a little bit of that, please?
Sure. So what I typically do is I will ask the dreamer to either voice record or, you know, journal out or type out their dream. I like to read through it. And then what I do is I go through and pick out the symbolism. And the way I've been taught is that, like, every symbol, every color, every person, place, or thing, every noun in a dream has significance, right? And then every action associated with that noun, that symbol, has significance. And so I'll go through and I'll read through the dream several times, and I'll end up getting several different layers, typically, of what the dream entails. So I'll get kind of a concrete meaning, a conscious meaning, and then oftentimes I'll get a deeper meaning that the person is ready to hear, but maybe just isn't consciously aware of yet, or hasn't been able to receive it in a consciousness that I can mirror back to them. Because really, I mean, when I dream, I still belong to a dream group, because oftentimes I am not able to see what I dream if I have a big dream, but, you know, my colleague of mine will be able to say, hey, you know what, this is what I'm noticing about the dream. What do you think of this? And it's like, you know, that makes sense, because I love this saying, we all need mirrors for ourselves, right?
Yes.
Let's see ourselves a little bit more objectively. And, you know, it's hard to see the picture from within the frame. So oftentimes we need that mirror, or that, you know, somebody else, that sounding board, or that other someone to bounce that information off of, so that they can reflect back to us what it is that we're trying to see.
Fabulous. Are there any other things that you would like to share with the listeners today regarding the dreams, or any other information that we missed here about this topic?
We could go on and on.
Yes, we could, and we might. So, Monica, I know that you used to have a podcast, and you took a pause on your dream work analysis and dream work interpretation work. But if somebody is interested, and I'm still hoping you'll eventually get back into that again. But if somebody is interested in contacting you for an intuitive dream interpretation, is that something that they could do? They could reach out to you and get that, or work with you to get have a dream interpreted?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I do want to get back into doing dream work a little bit more actively. So I would love to do that. What I like to do is, you know, I'll talk with a person, I'll have them contact by email, and then we'll set up a time and where I can receive their dream, look it over. And then I'll want to have a time where I can have a time to discuss. So we might even do a Zoom or a telephone chat so that I can get some clarification on some of the symbology, or if I need some more detail or clarification about their dream, I can ask those questions and get deeper into the meaning of their dream. So.
Fantastic. Well, this has been such a great opportunity to chat about dreams. I know you have personally helped me with so many of my dreams, and it's just been very healing to have that interpretation or another perspective on how to look at it. It's not just, oh, I'm just having a dream. No, there's something here. There's something that my dreams may be trying to share with me or tell me about. So I really appreciate your time today. We're going to put your contact information in the show notes of this, your email information, and I appreciate you so much. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I so appreciate you as well. Love
thank you. Thank you. Love you too. All right. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. As always, please, if you feel guided, follow, like, and subscribe. And you can watch this on YouTube. You can also listen to this anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, on Apple especially, and Spotify. Until next time, thank you so much love, and so much blessings. Bye-bye.